with the new Dad's Army podcast. My name's James, and I'm here with my good friend Tony, and we're going to talk for the next 20 minutes or so about Dad's Army, in particular, the release of Series 9 on DVD, and also, Tony, featuring what I believe is one of your favourite episodes.
Room at the Bottom, Series 3, and something special about it is Series 3 is in colour. Mm-hmm. This particular episode is one that didn't survive in colour, but it's still a good episode.
Yeah. Do you know the story? We'll get into this a little bit more detail later, but do you know the reason why it only exists in black and white now?
I haven't got a clue, but from the sounds of it, you might have.
No, I was just trying to sound clever. No, from what I understand, I think it was lost. It was recorded in colour originally, and then it was lost. And for a number of years, it was another one of the lost episodes. And it was rediscovered a few years ago. I think it was in 2002. And they rush released it out onto video at the time. And of course, it now features as part of the Season 3 DVD release. Anyway, before we get into talking about Room at the Bottom in detail, there's a couple of general news items that may be interesting. Again, not really very new news, Tony, but something we haven't discussed before, and that's the new Dad's Army stage play that's scheduled to start touring this autumn.
Who's in it?
Two individuals who I'm aware of. I think Leslie Grantham has been cast as Walker, which I'm not too sure about that casting. I think everybody's gone, oh, what a good bit of casting. But I'm just beginning to wonder whether or not it would have been a much better piece of casting had it been done 10, 15 years ago. I'm beginning to wonder whether or not he's a bit old for the role now. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't know where it's going to be held, but with Leslie Grantham in it as Walker, I think I'll probably be going to see it wherever it is.
Well, I think, to be fair, he's a brilliant actor. I mean, he's been in so many things. Lots of classic comedy, a few dramas as well. Not to mention, dare I say, EastEnders again. He was a regular feature in EastEnders for many years. The other piece of casting is that of Peter Martin as Mannerin. And he's been in The Royal Family and Emmerdale. And I have to say, I'm not familiar with his programmes.
Me neither. I don't want to offend him, but I don't know who he is. But that won't matter. I think respect to anyone who's prepared to take on that role. I'm sure it'd be enjoyable anyway.
Yeah, I mean this is it. I mean, I think it's wonderful that something new is happening in Dad's Army world. It's been too long since we've actually had something brand new. But at the same time, over any period of time, people get concerned as to whether or not the original will be slightly forgotten or it just won't feel the same. I mean, do you have any concerns about that?
None at all, actually. I think it'll be great. Surely no one's expecting it to be the same as the TV shows or the radio plays. If you don't expect it to be the same and you go along just to enjoy it, I think you probably should do it if it's any good.
No, I think you're right, and I have to admit it's something I'll definitely be going to. I'll definitely trying to go and see. I would imagine that tickets will be in demand. They're only playing one day in each venue. What I'll do, Tony, is quickly run through the places that they're touring, and then I'll put the dates and so on our website.
Yeah, before you go through the places, can you just say which episodes?
Certainly, yes, I should have mentioned that before. There's three episodes they're doing. There's two missing episodes. It's the Loneliness of the Long Distance Walker, which is a missing Series 2 episode.
It's missing, but you can hear it in the radio play version.
Absolutely, yep. Is that one that James Beck is in on the radio, Tony, or is it Larry Martin?
Ooh.
Or am I asking you a question there?
Larry Martin sounds so good in it. Sometimes I actually find it difficult to tell the difference between them. So,
It's strange, and I know that other fans have felt the same way. But it's strange how easily you can accept Larry Martin into that role. And of course, when you're watching it on TV, you'd have thought, no, this role is James Beck, and there's no one else who can replace him. But I think Larry Martin does it really well in the radio shows.
Quite agree.
There's also the other lost episode, which is A Stripe for Fraser.
Oh, yes. Well, which episode of the two? There's two where Fraser gets promoted. Which episode is this?
Yeah, you're thinking of probably If the Cap Fits, which I think came on a little bit later, which is where Mannerin laid down the gauntlet, if you like, as I think Fraser kept on challenging his leadership, and he said, well, if anyone wants to go and lead this platoon better than me, then you're more than welcome to try. And of course Fraser jumps. It's not that one.
so that's the episode where Fraser takes over the whole platoon. So it must be the episode then where Mannering promotes someone from private to Lance Corporal.
I think so, that's right. And he has a kind of competition with Jones to see who's the best Lance Corporal. And of course they're all crawling to Mannering, which is interesting, because Mannerin doesn't tell him to stop being silly. He quite enjoys the attention, I think. So,
yes.
But that's the other episode, and the one that's not missing is probably the episode that most people will remember Dad's Army for, and that's The Deadly Attachment.
Oh, yes.
Which, of course, the famous line, "Don't tell him, Pike." That was it, wasn't it? "Don't tell him, Pike." So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, if they go, I don't know whether or not they're actually rewriting the scripts or whether they're just coming out with the exactly the same dialogue for each of the characters. But assuming that each episode is going to last approximately half an hour, then it'll be an hour and a half production.
Brilliant. Yeah. I put you off from saying whereabouts.
Yes, and I've lost my bit of paper now, but I found it again, so it's okay. They're playing in Stevenage, Sheffield, Northampton, Dartford, Wolverhampton, Worthing, Southend, Cardiff, Wickham, Darlington, Hull, and Salford. So they're playing all over the country. But yes, I'm certainly going to try and get tickets to go and see at least on one occasion. And you never know, Tony, I'm sure in a future podcast we can actually give a review on how we felt it went.
I would definitely love to go and see it. Out of that list, which is my nearest?
The nearest to you, oh, this is going to show how poor my UK geography is now, is Worthing close to you, Tony?
Okay, thank you.
I think that may well be the nearest one for you. Moving on, our next news item, which is not really a news item, it's just a query really. There's been a virus alert on the Dad's Army Appreciation Society webpage. Yes. I've had difficulty accessing it, and I know that you have as well.
Oh yes.
I've looked on a couple of forums that I'm a member of, and people are talking about the problem, but no one seems to be completely certain what's happening there. So perhaps if anyone is aware of what's happening, or whether that particular virus is dangerous, then perhaps you can get in touch with us at the usual email address, which is wilmingtononc333@yahoo.co.uk. We've recently seen the release of Series 9 on DVD. It was released about 2 weeks ago. This set of episodes actually completes the run now of Dad's Army DVDs. I think there's one left to come, which will probably be released next year to coincide with the anniversary, and that will just be the Christmas special episodes. But this series consists just of six episodes. What do you think, Tom? Were they particularly good episodes here? Or?
My favourite is definitely the last one of the six, which is Never Too Old.
Sure.
Corporal Jones and Mrs. Fox get married. Yeah. And there's the touching bit at the end where they actually toast the Home Guard.
Yeah.
And it's a serious one. I remember you saying that your favourite parts of Dad's Army are when actually they're not trying to be funny and they're actually making a serious point. And indeed, they're making a serious point at the end here where they are actually paying tribute to the people that did serve in the Home Guard.
No, absolutely. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the entire series. I like the comedy moments. I think some of the comedy moments are fantastic, and I've laughed again and again. But you're right, I think the areas that I really do appreciate is when you see these actors almost delivering a straight line. So much so that sometimes, if you excuse the pun, they fox the audience, because you can actually hear the studio audience laughing, and they're not too sure whether they should be laughing. And that happens towards the end of the last episodes in this series, Never Too Old, when they are all out on the end of the pier, and they're talking about how they're going to carry on, you know, being home guards until they're no longer needed. And like you say, I think it was quite a touching episode. How about the other ones, or the other episodes in this series? I mean, is there any here that, aside from the last one, any here that particularly you particularly like?
It's not my favourite series, if I'm honest. The episodes we've got, Wake Up Warrington, The Making of Private Pike, I do like that episode. Knights of Madness, not so keen on that one. I don't seem to like the ones where they do dressing up. Knights of Madness is one of those, so I'm not mad on Knights of Madness.
Right.
The Miser's Hoard, where Fraser's got a lot of gold. I quite like that one. There's some good stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And Number Engaged, we haven't mentioned. Nope. That's pretty good.
There's a reason why I didn't mention Number Engaged. And the reason being is because, I pre-ordered Series 9 some time ago, and it was delivered, I think, last week. And I looked on the back, and I knew Number Engaged was on it. And I read the little summary on the back, and I couldn't remember watching it. I really couldn't remember. You know, normally sometimes all you've got to do is mention the name of an episode, and a scene will come back. I don't know, you mention something like the deadly attachment, for instance, and you immediately think of Germans and Don't Tell Him, Pike. I couldn't think of anything for Number Engaged at all. And I watched it again, and do you know, I'm not sure I've actually seen that episode all the way through before.
Oh, right. it's confused with the episode where they're obviously trying out a phone box, which is a really funny scene.
Well, I know the one you mean. I know the one you mean. It was like, for me, watching a brand new episode, and I hadn't felt like that for a very long time. So it was good. It was very good. For me, I mean, I quite like this series. And I think mainly because it's quite character-based, or there's a couple of episodes here that are quite character-based. The Making of Private Pike, all about Pike with Dodgy's daughter, or no, not daughter, Dodgy's niece, was it not?
Yes, that's right. Yep. Sylvia.
Indeed. The Miser's Hoard, I love John Laurie, I think he's fantastic. His facial expressions, his eyes, you know, it's all about him. I think that was really good. And Never Too Old, although it is about all of them, it does dwell on Jones, and I think it adds a little bit to his character, rather than being, you know, a highly eccentric individual. You've actually got a little bit of the character in there as well, and I really think that's very good. So why is it that you are not too keen on episodes where they're dressing up, as you put it? Because there's a couple of those I can think of, actually.
What's the other one? There's one with there's the gorilla suit.
That's Gorilla Warfare.
It's where Dad's armor gets a little bit too silly.
I think he's got its moments. I mean, it's funny because I actually like a couple. There's one where he dresses up as Napoleon as well after he's been eating cheese on toast.
Oh, I do like that episode because that's like a fan for dream sequence. I was going to say
that's
fantasy,
right.
But it's a sequence.
That's right. And again, it's because, I mean, for me, I like it for a couple of reasons. One, because it's so different, and also because you've got the serious discussion at the beginning of that episode, where they're talking about cheese on toast and so on, all in the office, and you actually feel like the war is real, because they're all talking about how difficult it is to get cheese, and you've got kind of comrades drinking together, eating and drinking together, and then Mannering goes home. Do you know what I mean?
I know the episode. Have we said the name of the episode? Because I'm trying desperately.
No, because it escapes me, and the minute we stop talking about it, it will come back to us. But
It's an excellent episode, though.
It is good, but they do dress up in that one. Of course, that's where he's Napoleon. It's the one where the bus conductress takes a fancy to him, I think, as well, or vice versa. Yes. And also there's the other one with Pike. Pike always seems to get these dressing up parts where they get caught out in the rain.
I know that one. That's the one out like a haunted. That's the haunted house episode.
Yeah. Do you know, we can't think of any of these names. This is ridiculous. I mean, do you know, before the podcast, I could have recited you every single episode in order, and now I can't remember what these are called.
I think it's because we've both done a day's work today, I think.
And I'm not feeling well either, so there you are.
That's Farewell. That's the one where we've got the dream sequence and cheese on toast.
Well done. You obviously got a reference book close to hand.
I'm looking at my DVDs. What's the other episode?
The other one was where they were running through the countryside being chased by dogs, and Pike ends up in a flag and eventually naked.
Yeah, that's what I said was the haunted house. That episode is Things That Go Bump in the Night.
Well done. And I would imagine most of our listeners knew that long before we got around to it.
Okay. You're a buddy.
Anyway, season 9 is now available on DVD. As I said, it's only a short series. There's only 6 episodes on it. One of the things that we haven't touched on at all is the extras at the end. The We Are the Boys series of documentaries. This DVD features Ian Lavender, who I think gives a really good account of his time in Dad's Army. Have you seen this yet, Tony?
Oh, not yet. I've got it, but I haven't watched it.
It's a superb set of documentaries. And it's got all of the normal protagonists in it. It's got Perry, Croft, even interviews Clive Dunn, who gives very few interviews these days. And obviously Ian Lavender features quite heavily as well. But it's one of these documentaries that you can sit and just watch, and you end up laughing almost as much as you do watching one of the episodes. Our featured episode of this podcast is Room at the Bottom, which is a season 3 instalment. One of your favourite episodes, I understand, Tony?
Yes, it is. I'm more used to listening to it than the radio play. But I like this episode on either version simply because this is the one where Mannering has to come down off his high horse fast.
Yes, I think he does it quite gracefully, though it has to be said. I mean, he obviously reacts with a little bit of shock, and he thinks Wilson is lying to him. But I think, on the whole, he responds better than I would have expected the character to have responded at this stage. Because bear in mind, this is quite an early episode. It's only the 18th episode, I think. And all we've seen of Mannering at the moment is a lot of self-importance and pomp. And yet, I think he does handle this news, when he realises it's genuine, quite well.
Yes. Although, obviously, he's quite nasty to Wilson. He displeased Wilson. I don't think he actually apologises.
No, he doesn't. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was something I picked up on as well. I actually thought, up until the point where he finds out that Wilson is telling him the truth, he's actually quite an unlikable character. He does redeem himself later on in the episode, but I think up until that point, where he's saying, "You're jealous of me," and he's highlighting his own insecurities by blaming Wilson for insecurities he doesn't have.
And Wilson is laughing through this as well.
Well, that's the comedy element, really. I think it's it's John LeMessurier, because he's cracking up to himself when he's acting on his own, and when Mannering's at the office and he's looking in the mirror and he's practicing how to tell Mannering the news. You know, I think that he carries that off really well, because it's a good couple of minutes of dialogue just on his own.
Yes.
And I'm not too sure if there's that many characters within Dad's Army who can carry that off particularly well. I think John Laurie did on a number of occasions, just talking to camera, and it was very funny. But LeMessurier doesn't get much of a chance to shine, and I think this is one of them. I thought he was great, and he also got some of the best lines, I thought, in this one, particularly when he thought Mannering had shot himself.
Yeah.
I thought that was particularly good.
God, he shot himself.
Yes, indeed. What other areas did you particularly like about this episode?
I think it's one of the favourite bits will be where Mannering decides that he's going to rejoin the platoon as a private, as a mere private, and he falls into line beside Jones, and Wilson is leading the parade, and Mannering can't get the standing to attention, can't get the drill right.
He does a Jones.
I mean, in fact, one of the quotes is along the line, I can't remember the quote, but it's along the lines of Jones saying, I used to do that, Mr. Mannering, but I've put in a lot of practice and I'm all right now. And then not only that, but Mannering then puts Jonesy off. So they're both doing it wrong.
Indeed. Yeah, no, I think that was quite well worked, and it was a... I think it also shows how quickly they established the character of Jones, because they started taking the mick out of that character so early in the run of episodes. They were that confident that Jones's character was established enough so the audience would know that he automatically gets his drill wrong to make fun of it. And I thought that worked well, because it could have just died, and I think it worked really, really well. One thing I will mention, which I was going to mention right at the beginning, was did you notice Captain Bailey in this episode?
Now, we honestly haven't spoken about this before, but yes, I recognise him from... Is this where you're thinking, have you seen him in anything else?
Yeah.
Is this what you're getting at? Well, I think I've seen him in Just Good Friends.
Really?
As Mr. Warrender, who, if you know Vince and Penny in Just Good Friends, Mr. Nope. and Mrs. Warrender are Penny's mum and dad.
Oh, really? Well,
he's a down to the
husband. It's actually not what I was going to mention. I'm going to mention a much more obvious connection.
What?
He was Bracewell in episode one. The actor's name is John Ringham.
One of the platoon members who didn't carry on.
No, he didn't carry on. Allegedly, he was a character who Perry and Croft created, and he was always going to be a permanent member. Do you remember the character I'm talking about?
Is this the one with the gun?
Yes. I think so. Yes, I believe so. And they decided that his character fell some way in between a couple of other characters, and then realised there was just one too many. And of course, it was very disappointing for the actor not to be included in what turned out to be an extremely successful series. And so Perry and Croft promised that he could return, as another character later on. And he returned as Captain Bailey, I think, on three or four occasions. But this is the first one that I recognised him, straight from the original black and white episodes. But I didn't know that he was in Just Good Friends as well. I mean, were there any other areas that you were, any other programme that you recognised him from?
He does seem to be a famous-looking actor, but I don't know any other scenes in.
Hmm. Yeah, indeed. Okay, so that was a new thing for you. You didn't know he was Bracewell. No?
No.
Well, I'm glad to have been able to have informed you. What else? What do you think about Wilson and his hat?
What's happening here? He's got a new hat, which is completely out of kilter with his sergeant suit, isn't it?
It looks like Frank Spencer, as far as I'm concerned.
And he's not allowed to wear it?
No, it's supposed to be for officers only. And again, it's hard, because when Mannerin actually mentions to him that hat is supposed to be for officers only, you kind of think, yeah, well, Mannerin's just saying that because he doesn't want Wilson to upstage him in any way. But of course, it's confirmed later on through Gregory actually saying that's an officer's hat, Gregory being the drill sergeant. So again, I think that was quite a clever little plot thing that Perry and Croft had put in, because although they were seeking to undermine Mannerin in as much as saying he's got no authority, they were also trying to re-establish his authority throughout it. And I think that hat thing was probably introduced just to show, well, you know, Mannerin's not always just pompous, he can be correct on occasions, and this particular occasion he got the protocol absolutely spot on, because it was an officer's hat and sergeants shouldn't have been wearing it.
Yeah.
So I think that worked.
I've got another favourite bit.
Yep.
In this episode where Mannering doesn't want to announce to the platoon that he's no longer captain, he puts on the shoulder protectors so that they can't see his badges have been removed. Well, the Verger comes in announcing the sinking of the Bismarck.
That's right.
And I've looked at the scripts, and the Verger seems to do a bit of ad-libbing. He says he runs off after announcing the sinking of the Bismarck. The Verger runs off and says something along the lines of, "I'll tell his reverence. I don't know how he'll take it." And there's an implication here that the vicar is going to be disappointed at the sinking of the German ship.
That's funny, because I do remember that line, but I always read that because he was a man of God, and of course, you know, how would he take the sinking of a ship with lots of people dying?
Uh-huh.
With the dichotomy of having a major military victory. You see,
yes.
So were you? I'd see you, because there have been other implications throughout the series that the vicar has got German sympathies. Is that what you're suggesting?
You're right. you might be able to remember the episode, because I can't think which episode it is. But
ooh,
there's a scene where, again, Wilson is on his own in a room listening to the radio.
Yes.
Mannering walks in while Wilson is listening to the radio, and Mannering immediately says, "Wilson, what are you listening to? That's Lord Haw-Haw, isn't it?"
Yes, sir.
And Lord Haw-Haw was a British chap, I believe, who was supporting the Germans.
Yeah, it was Germany calling.
And Wilson's reason for listening to Lord Haw-Haw was, he said something along the lines of, well, it's the vicar's radio.
That's it. Yeah, I remember the scene. I can't remember the particular episode, though, I have to say. But I know, I think it suggested a couple of times. Mannering, again, I get some line I remember, said, I sometimes wonder where his sympathies lie. I think that was actually said right at the very beginning in the first couple of series before Frank Williams actually started featuring in the series as well. So,
yeah.
quite interesting, I think. I thought also, another query, this isn't really a mistake or anything, it's just a query. Clearly when Mannerin is demoted or is away deciding whether or not to disappear or rejoin the platoon, Wilson's got to lead him on this exercise.
Yes.
He actually is the only bit of location shooting in the entire episode. It's only about 2 or 3 minutes long. And obviously Wilson makes a right hash of it, and it's all dreadful. But I always wondered, at that point, Mannerin had already rejoined the platoon, and he'd said, "I'll become a private." So why wasn't he present on that location?
I don't know.
Had it been the other way round, had that been happening first, then I could have understood it. But Mannerin turned up in the courtyard, took part in a drill, and Wilson had told everyone he would be leading one on the parade, so I think Mannerin should have been there. So I'm not sure whether that was a hole or whether it was something that was deliberate, but I think it might have been a little bit of a mistake there. I think that's probably everything I had to say about this particular episode. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention?
What do you give it out of 5?
Out of 5, it's not one of my favourites. I think it's okay. I enjoyed watching it again prior to the discussion that we've just had. So I would say probably 3. 3 out of 5. How about you?
I'm going to say 3 as well. Because I prefer the radio version, I think.
Yeah, that is the case. I think some of the what I would consider to be not the weaker episodes on TV completely turn around and they work really well on audio. So, yep. And I think this is one that I did enjoy. Do you think you are giving Mr. Hitler if
you think old England? Well, that's it for this week. Just a reminder, if you should happen to be listening to this, please get in touch with us on our website, which is www.dadsarmy.podomatic.com. There's no apostrophe in Dad's Army there. And Podomatic, PODOMATIC, www.dadsarmy.podomatic.com. We're going to put all of the locations for the stage play, locations and dates, on that website. We're going to be back in 2 weeks. James, which episode will we be discussing then?
Well, I thought we'd go right back to the very beginning. I think we'll go for The Man in the Hour. In a couple of weeks' time, unless we have any change of heart over the next couple of weeks. But that's one of my favourite episodes, so and it'll be good to discuss one of the very first episodes. So we'll discuss The Man in the Hour, and if you've got any thoughts or any comments or anything you'd like us to raise or discuss during that podcast, then please email us. Which, as we've mentioned a few times now, is it's Warmington on Sea, 333@yahoo.co.uk. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the new Dad's Army podcast. I'm James and I'm here with my friend Tony, and we're going to be discussing Only Fools and Horses for the next 20 minutes. I've forgotten what we were discussing, Tony. Never mind.